Death is Now My Neighbor by Colin Dexter, read by Kevin Whately. What time do you call this, Lewis?
The missus is falter, late with the breakfast.
Morse made no answer as he stared down at the one remaining unsolved clue. Stand for soldiers? (5 and 4). Lewis took the chair opposite his chief.
Stuck, sir?
If I were, I doubt I'd get much help from you. Well, you never know.
Ah!
Morse triumphantly wrote in toast rack, folded the Times away, and beamed across at his sergeant.
You are a genius, Lewis.
So you often told me, sir.
And I bet you had a boiled egg for breakfast, with soldiers. Am I right?
Chief Inspector E. Morse of the Thames Valley Police HQ grinned. Unlike Morse, Dawn Charles was quite content with her Christian name. Sometimes she'd felt slightly dubious about it, but no longer. Certainly the Chief Inspector would have noted the receptionist with approval. A vivacious, dark-eyed woman, long-legged and well-figured. Most of the consultants greeted her with a genuine smile. Several of them these days with her Christian name.
Nice.
Her job at the Harvey Clinic on the Banbury Road was really enjoyable. She kept 2 jugs of genuine coffee piping hot for her clients, most of them soberly suited, well-heeled gentlemen, and a number of them, as she well knew, most seriously ill. There had been several occasions when Dawn had heard passages of conversation between consultant and client, which she shouldn't have heard, or which, having heard, she should have forgotten, and which she should never have been willing to report to anyone. Not even to the police. Certainly not to the press. January 15th was to prove a day easy for her to recall, since it marked the 25th anniversary of the Harvey Clinic's opening, and the clinic had been visited by Radio Oxford, by the local press, and by Mr. Wesley Smith and his crew from Central TV. Particularly memorable for Dawn had been those precious moments when the cameraman moved behind her left shoulder as she ran a felt-tipped pen through a name on the appointments list in front of her. Dawn Charles was always to remember the name. Mr. J.C. Storrs. There was something else she would remember too. Just as the personnel from the media were preparing to leave, Mr. Turnbull, the senior cancer consultant, had passed her desk and walked slowly to the exit, his right hand resting on the shoulder of Mr. J.C. Storrs. The two men were talking quietly together. The look on the consultant's face, as far as Dawn could recall, had been neither that of a judge who has just condemned a man to death, nor that of one granting a prisoner his freedom. No obvious grimness, no obvious joy. But the scene had been partially masked from her by a ponytailed reporter, scribbling a furious shorthand as he interviewed a nurse, and by the TV crew packing away its camera and tripods. If only Dawn Charles could have recalled a little more. If... On Monday morning, the 29th of January, she was to hear on Fox FM radio that her favourite consultant, Mr. Robert H. Turnbull, MB, CHB, FRCS, had been fatally injured in a car accident on Cumnor Hill. Sir Clixby Bream would be almost 69 when he retired as Master of Lonsdale. A distinguished mathematician in his earlier days, the Master had never enjoyed living anywhere as much as in Oxford. 10 years of it now. He'd learned to love the old city more and more, and he would miss the college. But there were consolations, perhaps. He was subject to none of the pressures about moving to somewhere nearer the children, since his marriage to Lady Muriel had been sine pro. Moreover, Lady Muriel had been in her grave these past 3 years. Furthermore, he would be able to sit back and survey with sardonic amusement the infighting that would doubtless arise among his potential successors. It was the duty of the Fellows Appointments Committee to stipulate 3 conditions for those seeking election as master. First, that any candidate should be of sound mind and in good health. Second, that the candidate should not have taken holy orders. Third, that the candidate should have no criminal record within the territories administered under the governance of his or her most glorious majesty. Such stipulations amused the master. Presumably, convictions for murder, rape, sodomy, or